To see where Dubai takes you now, visit DubaiPresents.com.
A hypothetical. If your neighbor buys Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and you buy them with True Choice, what's the difference? An extra $5,000 in your pocket? Don't miss out. Get up to 10% back with True Choice at Corteva.com/save now.
All right, we back at it, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head,
Rick James.
Rick James, what the dilly? How you living?
What's up, Homegrown? What's up, DJ Head, Chuck Dizzle?
So look, we got one of the homegrown homegirls, man. I want to introduce the audience to her because I feel like she's a very talented individual. I've seen her, I've had the pleasure of seeing her perform, and I'm like, yo, this is somebody that I think deserves a platform and for people to get to know who Rick Jane is. So before we do all that, I want you to introduce yourself to the people. Who are you? Where do you hail from? And let's say describe your style in three words.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll put you on the spot. Three words.
All right. Okay. So my name is Rick Jane, R-Y-C-K-J-A-N-E. I'm from LA, born and raised. I am a rapper, trumpet player, singer, and dancer and producer. And three words, I would say hardcore, different. And not like them. I know that's like
That's fine. That's perfect. That's perfect because I think that's the best way to describe you. Yeah, she ain't like them. I saw her perform at Payday LA, and you know, I was already familiar with the name and you know what you were about based off the Wild Bunch and stuff like that. But just to actually see you perform, it's like you literally are a one woman band. You know what I'm saying? You do everything.
Yes.
And I kind of want to dive into that, man. I mean, when you say trumpet player, like a lot of people, you know, you hear piano. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get crazy, you go to guitar. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the ladies on the drums. But a trumpet player, man, what made you pick up the trumpet?
There was no particular reason. Like in high school, I was playing in the band in the pit, which is like the xylophones and the congas and stuff like that in the marching band. So when jazz band season came around in the spring, my band teacher, Fernando Pullum, he was like, hey, you got to pick another instrument. And I was like, fuck it, trumpet. Since then, it took off, man. Like, I taught myself how to play. I learned the fingering. I figured out everything I learned. I have a really good ear. What was I say?
Be careful when you say that. You said...
What?
Because this is audio, right? So a lot of people are hearing this. You said you taught yourself how to play and... You learn how to finger. You talk about the trumpet,
the fingering with the trumpet.
Now I want the record to reflect that I haven't, DJ Head hasn't said anything yet. So, because people gonna assume that this is me and me being me saying some wild shit. That was the married Chuck Dizzle who said that. But go ahead, continue, Queen.
It's a fingering. You know what I mean. So you basically have to know what fingers to use on the trumpet. So. I taught myself, man, and I moved the first chair within a couple of months, and I've been killing it ever since.
I have a question that probably is a stupid-ass question. What the hell does that mean when you say you moved to first chair?
Oh, right. So people don't know that. So I started out playing, and you start at a lower level. So basically going to first chair, I was basically in first trumpet, and I was playing the higher notes. I was like the main trumpet player.
First chair is like, that's a good thing.
Yeah, she's like a black belt.
Yes, it's levels to this. You know what I mean?
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
Levels. I was at the high level of being a trumpet player in the band.
So you were the shit. Got you.
There you go. I mean, I'm humble. You know what I mean? I like.
But I mean, music runs in your background, though, man. Kind of talk about your grandfather, man, and who he is.
Yeah, my grandfather, he was a part of a band called the Four Knights back in the 50s. And they toured. They was on the Ed Sullivan show. Like, he lived the road life. You know what I mean? And my mom, she made me take piano lessons when I was a kid. And I was pissed off at first. I was like, man, you making me take piano. I didn't like it. But, like, later on, I realized, like, man, like, I appreciated it because it allowed me to move a lot faster in music. You know what I mean? Yo,
that is one of the things that it resonates with me, because I took piano when I was like 4 or 5. And then I stopped for a little bit, and I started again, and I stopped at 12. And I was like, man, I'm done. I don't want to do it no more. Mm-hmm. And later down the line, I started producing, and I was like, damn, I wish I would have kept going, because I know that would have, like, obviously worked out when it came to the music. So when you were pissed off about this, did she still force you to continue, or did you stop and go? Wow.
No. Like, so my mom's idea was, she wanted to take piano lessons when she was a kid, and her mother could not afford it at that time.
Oh, wow.
So she was like, now that I have the money, I'm gonna make you do it, because I didn't have a chance to do it. So that's what it was, man. Hey, and I appreciate it now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
I want to go back to the trumpet, because I remember in fourth grade when you know, everybody was like, oh, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna be in band. I actually signed up to play the trumpet, right?
Really? I never knew that.
I know. So listen, what? Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I ain't fucking with the trumpet. I'm thinking I hit a lick. I'm like, okay, I got away with one. I'm thinking this in the fourth grade. Like, okay, all I got to do is blow into this tube, press the buttons, and the notes.
It's three of them.
Now, listen, only three of them. Hold on. What I didn't realize was that you have to make like 7 different noises or sounds with just your mouth without pressing any.
Correct.
Is it 7, right?
Yes.
You have to hit 7 notes without pressing anything on the trumpet.
Or just in your mouth.
I handed the dude back the trumpet. Like, hey.
I'm good.
I done ran through all the valve fluid. I done ran through all of the valve fluid. Hey, take your shit back, bro. I'm right. 7 notes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you picked up the trumpet, were you aware that what it was going to take for you to be able to play it?
Not at all. I thought it was easy. Like, just like you, like, oh, it's only 3 little vowels. Like, hey, you know, say that, man. Like, when I tell you, that's one of the hardest instruments. Like, because you have to use your lips and your armature
and your
tighten
what?
It up. It's called an armature.
I'm sorry, I didn't graduate from college. What the fuck is
armature? It's all good.
Yeah, I graduated from college, and I still don't know.
What the fuck is armature?
it's basically like the position of your lips and how your lips should be in the mouthpiece. So you have to have a good armature and be able to move your lips in a certain way to make notes sound the way they sound.
Let me ask you a question.
It's a lot of shit to it.
Let me ask you a question. So if...
Don't go there, nigga. I'm not that broad.
If I have a lady friend of mine, right, whom I'm trying to get her to have better armature, you know what I'm saying?
hey, tell her to get a grapefruit, my nigga. You know. Hey. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is that the correct term to use when I'm trying to express to her that her teeth are not supposed to be there? Her armature is fucked up.
Hey, your armature.
You keep biting.
Armature. You know what I'm saying? Rick James said, get your armature together, bro.
Oh my God. Okay.
Hey, quit using your teeth.
Okay. West Coast.
All right.
So, okay. But that's super interesting about you, because again, you say not like them. Obviously, picking up the trumpet, you know, whether you wanted to do it or not, you saw it through. You know, when it came to music, you saw it through, and I feel like these things are paying off for you. And again, you would really encourage when things open up, or when you do a virtual show, people will see what Rick Jane is all about, because she brings all this charisma to her showcase. Now, talk about that piece of it, because I mean, we'll get into it, man. Shout out to the Wild Bunch and
yes, your journey Wild with them. Bunch.
Talk about that journey with them, but also, you know, we talking Super Bowl 50, we talking Coachella, Chargers. There's a lot of things that people need to know about Rick Jane.
For real. So first of all, it's crazy, because when I decided to become a solo artist, I was like, man, I don't want to play the trumpet. Like, I feel like I just want to bring bars. And I did a show, and a guy was like, don't you play the trumpet? Like, he saw me before, and he was like, you did great. But he was like, don't you play the trumpet? Like, you missing that. You need that. And I'm like, dog, like, yeah, like that's what's gonna make me different. And that is what makes me different. You know what I mean? So I basically kept playing after high school with the Wild Bunch. We ended up signing to Sony. And that was the same time Beyonce and John Legend had signed to Sony. So it was kind of crazy because we were like an alternative hip hop band, you know what I mean? And they really didn't know how to view us and how to market us. Like it was a while ago. So I was like, well, you know what y'all are, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was 10 of us, you know what I mean? Wow. Like a 10 piece band, like what y'all gonna do? But I mean, we had our first big tour, Sprite Liquid Mix tour. That was with NERD, The Roots, Talib Kweli. That was like major, like bus, everything, like the life.
You guys, were you at all intimidated being on the same stage as legendary bands like The Roots?
Not at all. Like,
because The Roots and the NERD are legends.
They everything. And they, it's funny because they came to our sets and they saw us perform and they was like, y'all killing. Like, they showed us mad love. And we knew we were supposed to be there. You know what I mean? It was like, when you get there, you be like, yep.
Were you ever able to get any advice from like Pharrell or Questlove or anybody as a part of the band?
Not personally. Like, you know, sometimes that was a really big tour. So, you know, you may see them walking down the hallways, but you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't really want to talk to people like that. You know, it's a business and you keep it professional.
Gotcha. Now, about these tours, man, do you have a crazy, wild experience on tour? A lot of people talk about on the road, like, oh, man. Some people aren't. Hey, you've been on tour before. You know about this. I don't know about this, but I always hear about being on tour and being on the road.
The amateur on tour is fucked up.
It's bad fucked up, bro.
What's been your experience on the road touring? And we can kind of segue that into your experience as being, you know, signed to a major deal with Sony. Like, you know, now that you've kind of seen what that machine looks like and them not knowing how to market you at the time, how does that like transform to you now, like through the experiences that you have as an independent artist?
Well, I know now. Well, even before then, I just know I don't want to sign to a major. Like, the machine is great to have, man, for marketing and just putting you on that platform. However, I want to own my masters. I want to own everything. I don't want a 360 deal. Like, I would only use a label for the platform and for the distribution and for everything else that I can't do. But the whole thing is like, that should it still come down to money, dog. Like, no matter what, independent or on a major, like, you're going to have to either come out of pocket with that or you got to pay to label that money back. You know what I mean? Like, it still comes down to it, you know? So I'm cool on a major. Like, I'm cool on that. I want to stay independent.
So you've been there, done that. Are you been there, yeah, done that, man. But could there be a collaboration like between you and a major, maybe like your own label situation or maybe?
Absolutely. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Like I don't want to just, you know, put up any walls and just stop me from getting any bigger than what I can be. You know what I mean? I'm definitely going to, hell yeah. If the opportunity comes up, I'm definitely going to do that.
Name a time where you actually were nervous on stage performing, because you've been on tour with The Roots, NERD, you've been on tour and you've done the Super Bowl, you've done these crazy things. Has there ever been a time where you were nervous? Did something happen?
Yeah, like in 2019, I became the trumpet player for the Chargers, the LA Chargers. So like every time there was a first down, they would have me go da 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 like every first down, and then also I would play the national anthem or God Bless America.
Wow.
So they were like, oh, you know what? We want you to. We're having a collaborative game with the LA Kings. Like, would you be down to play for the LA Kings? Play the national anthem for the LA Kings? I'm like, yeah. And it was at the Staples Center, man. And I just remember being scared as hell, like walking on the ice, and then. Like,
they had you walk on the ice. Did you have on?
Yes, I was on the ice. I'd be afraid of that. Ice,
you had on like you had on your red bottoms, or you was on skates?
No, I had on some J's, bro. Okay. But they laid out a carpet, you know, so we can walk on the ice. But like when I played in the national anthem, I like to close my eyes and just get into zone. Man, I just remember hearing shh, shh, shh while I'm playing the anthem, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know what was going on, but it was the players, like, practicing, like, kicking the puck or whatever it's called, whatever with the puck.
Like, what the do. Puck?
But that shit, but that shit, like, it fucked me up, and it had me so nervous, man. But, like, anytime I played in front of 30,000 people and it was just me, like, it freaked me out every single time, bro. Like, every time.
When you play like, the national, scary. When you play in the national anthem, you know how, like, when you hear singers play, sing the national anthem, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'll voice a crack? Does that mm-hmm. happen within the trumpet?
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
So you might hear, like, like a,
yes, dude. Like, the very first time, I messed up totally. A guy was in my in-ears and he was like, oh, Rick, you're doing great. While I'm playing it, and I fucked up. I'm like, bitch, don't you get in your in-ears no more.
Right. Yeah, dang,
get out of my
man.
Ears, bro. Yeah, like, now, it happens, man. It happens.
Now, also, man, I also see that the Grammys 2020.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Talk about that experience with her. And, you know, that was for the people that don't remember, we can kind of go back, man. That was, you know, the around the same time that Nipsey got the Grammy and, you know, it was Kobe. I don't even want to say celebrating, but we were just mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant and obviously the Nipsey Hussle as well, man. But talk about your experience actually being able to perform and be on that stage as well.
Hey, man. So, like, every opportunity I've had, I'm thankful for. You know what I mean? If it's the Grammys, if it's playing with the Wild Bunch at the bar, Melody's bar, like, it don't matter, bro. Like, I'm thankful for everything. You know what I mean? So, got the call, did the rehearsals, and actually on the way to Staples Center through security, going to the Grammys rehearsal, day of Grammy Sunday, I'm walking by security. And they like, yeah, man, Kobe died in an airplane or in a helicopter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what'd you say? Because he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. He was like, yeah, man, Kobe just passed away. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's right, because it was last minute. Yeah, It was right the same day.
It was that day, bro. It was that day. And like walking into the Staples Center, man, it was so eerie seeing his jerseys up there. Oof, they were like photos of him that you normally don't see in a Staples Center, you know, walking through the halls and shit. It was like, it was fucked up. And the band, we was like in a dressing room, man, we were just crying. Like, it was sad as hell. And like, we all had to like get our own motivation to go out there to perform. Like, we about to shoot, we about to do the Grammys. Like,
Grammys, yeah.
It was
How do you channel that energy to do that though? I mean, that again, man, that's a tough moment when you have to entertain and you got to step up to the plate.
It's like there's no room for error. It's like this is showtime. Like there's no fucking up right now, and that's how we have to live all the time. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like it don't matter what type of show it is, dog. Like it's time to go. Like no matter what's going on, you gotta go. And there's no room for error, bro. There's no room for it.
No, I totally understand.
When you performing at the Grammys, are you secretly like, damn, I want to be here performing as a solo artist?
Heck yeah. Man, let me tell you something. I manifest that. Like, I manifest winning a Grammy. And I actually visualize me walking up the steps to receive the award. I visualize me holding the actual Grammy Award as if it's going to really happen for me. You know what I mean? So, I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be me, bro. Like straight up.
Let me ask you this. Being somebody who has performed at the Grammy, which that's already
that's a bar in itself. That's a bar. Let's not skip over that for sure.
Right.
So you wanna definitely acknowledge that. But being somebody that has performed at the Grammy, somebody that wants that is manifesting them receiving their own Grammy, do you still feel like those types of accolades and awards hold the same weight as they used to, being that we're in a new era where they, you know how people say, well, we should celebrate our own, or we shouldn't look to them for acknowledgement or acceptance or whatever the case may be. How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's an individual decision, or it's individually based, right? Of course, getting love, like Lupe, she shouted me out, and Lady V, they shouted me. I was like, oh yeah, I heard about you on Homegrown. I heard about you on Payday. And that little small little shout out like meant everything to me, and it made my day. You know what I mean? But in addition to that, even though I'm doing this for the love of music, hell yeah, I want the accolades. Hell yeah, I want to be respected on a bigger platform where, you know, I do receive the Grammy. Like, yes, but I don't think that that determines how good I am or how whack I am if I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that I definitely want, but, you know, if it comes, it comes. If not, I'm doing this for the love, man.
How open, how receptive are you? You just brought up the love, but then also the opposite of that. How receptive are you to negative criticism on your music?
Oh, like, it's whatever. I feel like, you know, everybody's not going to like my music. That's cool. Like, it's okay. And that goes for everything. Like, everybody's not going to like everything. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Like, I know I'm talented. I know I got dope shit. And I know it's going to be enough people to like it and fuck with it. And that's going to be enough for me, you know?
That's good. That's a good one.
Rapper, trumpet player.
Trumpet player.
Engineer.
I sing a little bit.
Sing.
Oh, no, some producer, producer.
I mean, but you produce, which exactly.
I'm engineer, though, but you know, you know.
Hey, man, you make sure the frequency is right when you're recording your shit. So you do some kind of engineer.
That's true.
But you're hands-on. you're hands-on is what I'm trying to get to the point. How do you focus on individually, like the certain things that you do? Are you do you like to collaborate with other people? Or are you like in your zone? Like, yo, let me get this out first and then let me hand it over to somebody else. Like with your creative space, are you better collaborating with other people or do you like to kind of be in your own zone?
I'm mostly in my own zone, but I have collaborated with other people, so it doesn't matter. But I'm blessed to have a home studio, as you can see. Right. And my partner, he's my engineer. He is my producer. So we work together. He does, you know, he's produced some joints for me. So it just works out, but I'm not like shying away from collaborations. Mm-hmm. And I've actually just recently did a collaboration with a drummer. Her name is Pocket Queen. She released a song yesterday and she's like really huge on social media and we get mad love from that. So I'm always down for collaborations, but the fact that I have something here and I already got a producer, it just works out where I'm in my own shit.
At what point did you start rapping through your journey? So I'm assuming that the trumpet was first, right?
I actually was rapping before the trumpet. I used to write rhymes all the time.
Okay.
And like
okay.
make up songs. But I didn't get serious about it until I was in Wild Bunch. Mm. And the lead singer Dame, he was
Dame,
like, hey,
shout out to Dame, yeah,
Dame. He was like, hey man, you want to hop on a song? I'm like, hell yeah, like just give me a time to shine, like, and actually record and be in the studio. So that whole experience, I was the only female in Wild Bunch, so that just allowed me to come out, and I would come out and do a verse, and then people like, oh shit, she raps too and play the trumpet. So that was like a whole big thing, you know what I mean? But later on, I did, like, a few years ago, 2014-15, I was like, man, I want to do this shit for real. I want to be a solo artist. Mm-hmm. And the reason why was because at the time, the only female rapper who was getting love was Nicki. She was the only person winning awards. Like, it was just her. And I felt like, man, like, I need to be doing something else. Like, I need to be doing this too. Like, me and her can shine too. And I also felt like a lot of motherfuckers on the radio sounded the same, bro. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And I just got fed up. I got to a point where I was like, I'm fed up with this. Like, I can be the difference, still be dope. You know what I mean? And just change shit. But I mean, it's crazy now. We're in a whole new era where there are a lot more female rappers. Mm-hmm. So it's really dope to see that. Like, it's not just one. Right. But still, I feel like I am the balance of that because I don't do stripper rap. And I'm not necessarily conscious either. So I can be the balance in this big spectrum.
I was going to say, because I remember I had Rhapsody up here and I asked her if she was okay with the term femc. Did she take up offense to it? Did she like it? Because I know some women don't really like that term.
Yeah. Oh, you asked me how do I feel about it?
Yeah, where are you at with it?
I don't know. I'm like,
she don't fuck
wall.
With it.
No, like, one, I don't like to be put into a box, obviously, right? Because I do all these things. Right. But, I mean, it is a different, like, it's a different niche, right? It is a smaller group. The female rappers is a smaller group. But yeah, I'm a rapper. I just happen to be female. You know what I mean? I know there are some female rappers who like, don't even call me no femc. Like, no, I'm a rapper. They be going hard on that. Like, yeah, you are, sis. Like, it's all good.
We get it.
But I'm just saying, well, the reason why I'm asking is because, like, when I have these conversations with friends of mine, it's like, women strive for equality in every facet, mm-hmm. right? In every way possible. So it'd be like, mm-hmm. Well, the female rappers want to be, they don't want to be in a female rapper category. They want to compete for rap album of the year. You know what I'm saying? They want
to compete
in the same lane. But then do you also have that, I'm asking you at this point, do you have that same energy when it comes to athletics? Like, do you treat the music and the athletics in the same vein? Do you allow women to compete against men in level the playing field across all boards? Or do you compartmentalize it?
I think I compartmentalize
it. Yeah. Hey, I fucked up last week too. I was like, I got it now. Compartmentalize. I got you. Don't trip, Rick. I got you.
Pick it up and separate.
I went to college, nigga, so but I fucked up.
She's like, nigga, I ain't stupid. Yeah. I just fucked my words up. You ain't gotta help me.
I don't do stripper rap. Go ahead.
Hey, but look. So, damn, what was you about to say? Oh, yeah. So, I think that it's different, like, because you brought up athletics. And, like, yeah, as a woman, I feel like, yeah, we can do anything men can do. Like, I'm strong. I can do this, you know. But then, like, when I think about football or, like, certain things, like, men are actually, like, they're made a certain way. You guys have different muscles. Like, it's just certain things that you guys have had that we don't have.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, I feel like that's okay. But I don't want to be marginalized as a woman and, like, oh, you can't do this because of this. Like, I think that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I should have the opportunity to do whatever I want to do. You know,
so it's a struggle either way. Like, one day you feel one way, one day you feel the other way, just based off of whatever the thing is.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm so interested in the name Rick Jane. Where does that come from? Where were you at when you decided, yeah, this is what I'm going by? And you know, tell people that.
All right, so when I was like, okay, I'm doing this shit for real, I was like, let me think of a name, and I start thinking about things I like. Mm-hmm. And the song Mary Jane popped in my head, and I was like, oh shit, Rick Jane. And it was that fast, right? And then I changed the I to a Y, because in Wild Bunch, that's what we did to our nicknames. Mm-hmm. Like, we spelled Wild Bunch WYLDE. Instead of using the I made it a Y. But it works on so many levels, just because, like, I'm a tomboy, so it's a feminine and masculine name. Mm-hmm. And it just works, you know what I mean? But I know some people be like, so what do you got to do with Rick James? Like,
nothing.
Nothing to do on that. The only thing the same is the phrase and the Mary Jane, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that's it, bro.
So what were some of your other inspirations growing up? Like, when you decide to, you said early days when you were singing and, you know, starting to write things down, who were you drawing inspiration from? What were you listening to on the radio? What was the people playing in the house that they had you say, oh, I can do that too?
Oh man, like, growing up, like, Michael Jackson was the shit. Like, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson was everything. It was like, we want to be Michael Jackson, you know, for a long ass time. But like, as far as rap music, it's crazy because even though I'm from LA and I love LA and the West Coast, I was bumping Jay-Z. I was bumping Biggie, like, straight up, like, Ready to Die.
Appreciate you coming through.
No, I'm fucking with you. It's a good interview. No, I'm playing. Right, I'm playing.
Thank you. Right. Right.
Nah, but I feel that, man.
Nah, I mean, I just had a love for it, man. I don't even know why. Like, I guess it was the boom bap and just the samples that they use, Tribe Called Quest, you know what I mean? Like, I really fucked with it hard. I remember having Ready to Die in a CD player and listen to that, catching the bus to Washington. You know what I mean? So
shout out to Washington.
So I mean, that's where I got my inspiration from, dog.
You mentioned your grandfather being in a group. Your mother encouraged you to do music. I'm assuming they're supportive in your venture to do that. Was it just like, hey, just continue this as a hobby? But when she went to them and said, yo, I want to actually do this, were they gung-ho about it? Or were they like apprehensive to say, okay, well, watch out for this. Like, watch out for that. Or was go ahead.
My parents, they are like super religious. Like, they don't cuss, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do nothing. You know what I mean? Church 5 times a week. My dad, they deaconess, you know what I mean? So
how do they feel about the secular music that Rick Jane is making?
Have you? Okay, go ahead. I have so many questions.
So as far as the trumpet though, like, my mom, she was like real skeptical about like letting me go to band rehearsal. We had band rehearsal every night, like on 74th, you know what I mean? Late at night. And she was like, I don't know. Like, but because my cousin did it, she was like, well, if he's doing it, then I guess you can do it. It's okay. So she allowed me and they would take me to rehearsal. So that was cool. But once I became or decided to become a solo artist, I was like, I was grown. Like, I was like, and I actually thought about it because my family is all religious. They all Christians. And I'm like, I really had to think to myself, like, man, I may not have my family support because I'm cussing, or I may, you know, talk about some stuff that they don't mess with. You know what I mean? Like, and I had to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. It took me a while. Like, I spent a couple of hours like thinking, like, dang, do I really want to do this? Do I want to cuss on songs? Yeah. Do I not want to cuss on songs? So I'm like, well, I cuss in real life. Like, I don't want to hide who I am for my family because they have beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
now, do you press play on it for them? Like, or is it like, we just hear it when I hear it, or we come to the show?
I do. Like, you know, I'm like, hey, I have a new song. You may not like it. It's a little, you know, but just here's a warning for you. I'll send them a clean version or whatever. But yeah, I'll play them some stuff. And they like a couple of joints. You know, they old school.
When your parents being real God-fearing, church-going people, what was that conversation like when you were first like explaining to them like you had been intimate for the first time? If you ever had that conversation,
I'm just gonna say, like, just growing up, I had a unusual life growing up, and I'm not the same girl as I was. So I'm gonna be honest, man. I was promiscuous at a young age. You know what I mean? And this was before high school, bro. You know what I mean? Gotcha. I don't even know what happened, how it came out, or how I even knew about sex or anything like that, bro. Mm-hmm. So like a couple of times, mom called me or the neighbors told.
She caught you?
Like kissing a boy, or a few times it was somebody snitching on me. Like, I saw her, you know what I mean? And I got my ass whooped like multiple times. And I don't know, man. I literally had a wake up call one day, man. I stopped. I was like, I'm not doing this shit no more. And it was literally before I got to high school. Wow. And I vowed to myself, like, man, I'm only going to have sex with a guy who's my dude, who's my boyfriend. And I was celibate for like 3-4 years before I even had sex again.
I was asking that because I remember when a lot of my people that I was going to church with young, when they came time for them to have that conversation, it was like, whoa, like, wait, what is happening? You know what I'm saying? Conversation when your parents are that involved in church like that.
Yeah. It was serious, man. Like, my mom was like, you need counseling? I mean, and it was mainly because I was young, like, just so young.
From high school,
So it was like, my mom was like, oh, we send you to the Christian counselor and just everything, bro. Like,
did that make you want to rebel when they did that? Or was it like, okay, I kind of get it. Like, when you had that waking up moment, did it take time to get there? Or was it like when they were approaching you with counseling and wanted to do like, were you like, oh, okay, I understand? Or were you like, man, fuck that. I'm going to do me. I'm going to do my own thing.
I was kind of like, I'm going to do my own thing. Like, I went along with it, like, you know, as far as I could. But whenever I was, like, in a situation, I'd be like, let's do this. Then let's go. You know what I mean? And I feel like it had to do with being insecure and having low self-esteem, straight up, like being a dark-skinned girl. You want attention. You're looking for certain things from certain guys. And one guy will give you a little bit of attention, and that's all it took, bro. Hey, you know?
You just brought up the brown skin thing, and I know that I don't know if you're familiar with Dani Lake and the situation that just happened with her. And I'm gonna be honest with she had put out this song called Yellow Bone, and she got a lot of heat for it because of the fact that she is not necessarily black, and you know her yellow bone is usually reserved for a term of for a black woman that is light fair skin or whatnot, right? And then I actually didn't have a problem with what she said. I didn't understand the issue, but I am not a black woman. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of the negativity she was getting was from black women. And she was basically, and the song was trash. Like that's, the song was
off top.
The song was it was atrocious. But, and I thought that that's what these people should have been focused on, but they were focused on the fact that her song was saying yellow bone is what he want. And they thought it was more like she was taking shots at his baby mom, who was a darker woman. I didn't take it that way. I took it as but there are so many other, and you brought up just now, there are so many other, Beyonce has songs who based on complexion. There are so many songs who people being proud of their complexion. I never thought of it being a disrespect to be proud of your complexion, regardless of your ethnicity. So I wanted to get your take on that as far as I'm not a black woman, so I can't speak to your experience.
Yeah, I don't know. Like nowadays, so many people are sensitive and you have to be so careful about what you say because people are in their feelings a lot more now, bro. It's crazy. And it probably, like, I'm sure it had nothing to do with it. But quick question, is Dani Lake, is she mixed?
She's Dominican. I want to say she's mixed with a couple of things. I honestly thought she was black. I thought she was black, Dominican, and something else.
Exactly. She looks like she's mixed with a nigga, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? She got some nigga in her.
She got some nigga shit going on. For the sake of the conversation, I know she proudly represents her Dominican heritage. But I mean, and that's a whole completely different conversation because Dominican, you know, with the origins and all that, I mean, it's still.
I was just asking because she brought up the brown skin thing. And I know that I can't speak to being a black woman. So I don't know. Like I hit up a couple of people like, hey, am I tripping? Because I'm not really offended by this. And it was like, no, like you don't get to tell people you don't get to tell black women that you're better than them. I'm like, that's not what she said. But again, that's why I digress. You know, if you were to make a pro almond skin anthem, right? That's not to the detriment of light skin
of everybody else. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. People are so sensitive and they take things a whole nother way. Like I'm sure she had no idea people were gonna think of it that way.
And it was messed up because she apologized for it and people ripped up her she probably shouldn't have apologized because that just made it worse. But it opened up a whole thing.
I know we gotta wrap up, but there's this thing, you know, like the whole pro black woman movement, et cetera. You have a lot of different things going on right now in society. As a black woman, do you feel protected by black men?
I do. Like in my circle or the men that I know, I do feel protected. And it's so crazy because on social media and in the media, we don't see those things. We hear the total opposite. And I'm like, damn, that's not me. Or like the phrase, like black men don't take care of their kids or black men aren't with black women. I'm like, I don't see that in my life, in my community. And I think that's some bullshit, bro. Like, I think it's a false narrative. And I mean, every situation is different. There was a situation where a young lady, something happened to her. Oh, at a liquor store in New York or somewhere.
That was crazy as hell.
You know what I mean? Like, so that was a different situation, and that's not to say that black men don't protect her, right? It was just that situation. There was some fucked up ass dudes, and it was just a bad situation.
She turned down a guy, and then it was an altercation that happened outside. For the people that don't know,
yes, but that has nothing to do with her not being protected by black men. Like I think people sometimes change the context of it, and it's a false narrative. I really do believe it's a false narrative, man. Like,
no, I'm glad you said that, because we just on the podcast and just our whole platform is really just celebrating, you know, who rocks with you, celebrating those that do, you know, that are in front of you. And I think that, that the conversation, whether it's music, whether it comes to race, social injustice or anything, is really a highlight. Yes, we understand what's wrong with society, but let's highlight the things that are great.
Positive, correct.
And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here, because I think it's important for, you know, somebody that's growing up or a young lady that might be seeing this for the first time and hearing who Rick Jayne is. And like, yo, I can do that. You know, it's not just about doing one thing. It's like, oh, I can play the trumpet. Like, it's okay. Or, you know, I can sing, I can rap. There's multiple things that I can, you know, I can do. So I salute you for being an example.
Thank you. I do
want to talk about the music before we wrap up.
Yes, sir.
Explain this six track, is it the instrumentals that you made on the iPhone?
Yeah. So, every now and then, man, on my iPhone and GarageBand, I'll just make beats for fun. Like, just because, you know what I mean? If I'm in a mood, creative mood. And I had played it for someone, a couple of little tracks. And she was like, yo, like, this is dope. Like, I could see myself cleaning up to this, or, you know what I mean, working out to it. Like, you should do this and you should release this. And I'm like, man, okay. So I just like did three or four more. And this kind of like a 90s hip hop vibe. And I'm gonna release it in March. It's called Rickstrumentals, like Beats, that. Loops, and Vibes. And it's gonna be real quick, real short. Just, you know, I may play a trumpet on a couple of joints, but I'm definitely not gonna rap on it. Just like a straight beat tape. Beat tape.
So you got the beat tape, and then we got the EP that's coming in May, right?
Yeah.
Jayne Got a Gun.
Yes. Watch out.
Now, we're not incriminating ourselves.
In California?
I am.
As you should.
I am.
All right.
Like, I got my shit in April, homie. Yeah. I got my shit, like,
right before everything went down.
Right. Hey, man. Like, I worked hard to get that mug.
Yeah.
I got my license and my Glock. Watch out.
So, what can we expect from Jayne Got a Gun?
Just totally me. Like, I haven't released a full original piece of work. The only thing that I've released was like a mixtape, and it was like a Jacket for Beats mixtape. It was called California Raisins, and that was like 2015, 2016. So this is going to be the first time people are going to hear original work from me. I've done singles and releases little here and there, but this is like a full body of work right now. So I got some like soulful R&B joints on that mug. Like, people ain't really heard me be vulnerable like that. A lot of people see me as like hardcore, going hard, rapping, you know what I mean?
But you just said you had a Glock and, you know what I'm saying, your license, you know what I'm saying, carrier, you know what I mean? But I feel what you mean. There are different dynamics to who Rick
Jayne
is.
For
people to catch up, if they want to go and check out the back catalog, if they want to stay in contact with you, I know we were talking about before we jumped on it, that you're getting your social media taken care of, you're hopping on, you're getting more engaged. How can people follow Rick Jayne?
So Rick Jayne is everywhere. You hear me? RYCKJANE, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram.
OnlyFans?
No.
See, you're not everywhere.
No. Hey,
but no. I'm fucking with you. I'm just saying, you said you was everywhere.
I'm with your lesson. You want me to give my lesson?
Said you was everywhere.
Hey, there's probably a market for that. Somebody that on OnlyFans that just want to see you play the trumpet, dog.
People be like, hot. They spent their dub. Yeah.
That's a bug. So on all social platforms, Rick Jayne.
I'm here with it. You know what I'm saying?
I really enjoyed having this conversation with you, man. And I want people to kind of like tap in and get more from you. And we like celebrating people that, you know, have stories and have things going on. And I'm glad we had this opportunity to get a chance to chop it up with you. Is there anything else that we didn't mention that you want the people to know?
Just thank you, Chuck Dizzle. Thank you, DJ Head. Like, I've been fucking with Homegrown. Y'all don't even know, like, just on the back burner, just following y'all and just seeing y'all growth and just to see how far you all have come, which is really, really dope. And I just appreciate y'all even having me on this platform. Like, hit me up, man. Like, it's a whole lot of artists out here killing it and doing their thing, bro. So for y'all to even fuck with me, I just appreciate that. So thank you guys. Thank y'all.
Now, you are very intentional with your manifesting, and one thing we like to
do is
the year can't end without Rick Jane doing what?
Getting a licensing and sync placement for a TV show, movie, or commercial where I get over $25,000.
I love that. Hey,
there you go. That's
I got to be specific, man. I got to be specific. Like,
man.
Dude. Because I had that manifestation last year, and I got a license in sync, but it wasn't that. So I got to be specific, bro.
Yes, you should.
Man, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for chopping it up with the Homegrown homies. You
thank
are the Homegrown homegirl. Much love. Thanks. Rick Jane everywhere. Be on the lookout for all the music, the beat tapes, and so much more for Rick Jane. And we look forward to seeing what happens with you in 2021, 22, and beyond. Yes. So appreciate you. It's Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. We'll catch y'all next time.